Sports World.
What up, bros?
What up, bros?
And welcome to Bro Meets World.
Bro Meets World.
Your Boy Meets World fan cast. I am Siege.
And I am Tony Curtis. How are you, sir?
It's been a long time. Shouldn't have left you. Without a dope beat to step two, step two, step two, step two, step, step two, step two. Guys, we're back. Season seven.
Season seven. Finally.
Season seven.
Finally. We finally got here.
Looks like we made it.
I'm excited. Obviously, it's been a long time since we've been able to talk about Boy Meets World. I'm excited to get back into it. I rewatched the finale of season six and also re-listened to our season six finale episode and our season six rewrap episode. And I just got to say, I have such little enthusiasm jumping into season seven. I'm looking over the episodes list and I'm just like, damn, there's like one or two episodes I'm looking forward to, but I don't know. I'm not coming into this with like, I'm excited to like talk about Boy Meets World with you. I'm excited to just like get back into the world of it all. But in terms of like actually watching these episodes, I feel like it's going to be rough stuff, bruh. Rough stuff.
Absolutely. You know what's funny? And so most of you who have been listening to us, you know that I am coming into this kind of blind. I watched it a lot when I was younger. Haven't watched it in years. I'm rewatching it for the first time. And I will say this. The past six seasons have prepared me for where I began, but I started watching this and I was like, this is where we begin. This is our welcome back party. Okay. Okay.
You know, here, I'll just start with this, and obviously we can get into the nitty-gritty of it, but I feel like just from this episode alone, my initial impression about this is just that, like, I'm not excited to, like, be a part of this television world anymore.
Right.
Like, this is not people I want to hang around with. This is not a family I want to be a part of anymore.
And yes!
Like, we could talk about it more later, but that's kind of my ultimate impression that I have now.
The aspiration has left the building. Like, 100%. Like, this used to be something that you aspired to be. And now you are the friend being like, get out.
Yeah. Like, this party is dying. Like, it's the party's dying. It feels like that.
Absolutely. I love that you brought that up. Also, I just want to say, for anyone who is joining us, we are not necessarily a recap podcast. We are a deep dive podcast, an analyst, an explained podcast, a contextual podcast. And I say that because we will have notes, we will have edits. We love Boy Meets World. We grew up on it. We love these characters. We want so much from them. But I have to say, if you don't want critique, you will not be satisfied, because we came to just look at this episode and these characters and be like, what are we doing? Why are we doing? Where are we at?
Honestly, I feel like you could ask any diehard Boy Meets World fan and they'll tell you that season six is it's dry chicken, man. Like, and to your point, like, of letting people know, to quote Princess Kesha, we are who we are. Take it or leave it, y'all.
And I just think it's really important because in general, I'm really learning about niche cultures. Like, my homework, which I'll bring up a little bit later on today, I watch something and I'll be like, oh, I love this thing. And someone else will be like, this was trash. They're like, really? You think it's absolute trash? And then I'll watch something else and I'm like, I could have done without that. And my husband will be like, oh my God, I live for this thing. And it's really interesting to see like these little pockets of where we're at. We have left monoculture so much. I think that people forget that it's okay to like something for what it is or what it was trying to be, but also have notes and edits and critiques. And I just feel like we're losing that nuance because everyone has like their own little pocket. Am I making sense?
I think you are. I just, you know. It is what it is. I don't know what to tell y'all. Like, we're not going to love it all. We're not going to lie. But I think truly, like, to actually speak on this, it's because we love this content and its characters and the world building so much that the disappointment comes from not seeing it live up to the potential promise. I mean, you can take Game of Thrones, you could take Breaking Bad, you could take any of these famous shows and be like, man, that season just did not hit as good as that other season did. And so, yeah, if we're talking about Boy Meets World as a whole, there's a lot of love to give. If we're talking about season 7 episode 1 specifically,
which we are,
I don't know.
Okay, before we get into the episode, I just want to do the usual reminders. You guys, we love hearing your thoughts. Reach out to us. You guys have been really good at reaching out to us on socials. Don't forget to reach out to us on email or YouTube or any of the places that we are at Bro Meets World.
You can still leave voice messages on our website, reminder.
So make sure you do that. And I feel like this is a perfect segue into Tell Me About It.
Dry chicken. All right, let's jump in.
Tell us about it. Yeah, Topanga's had enough. Dumps Corey and leaves him behind and moves in with Angela and Rachel in the meantime.
I love it. I love the dedication. I love the incorporation of the B plot. You know what? That's a good one for me. A solid B. Solid B.
Honestly, this episode didn't offer me a lot to work with. I didn't think so. So I did what I could. I appreciate the B.
I love it. This is season 7, episode 1, Show Me the Love. After letting her parents were getting the divorce, Topanga calls off the wedding. So Corey persuades Sean to go to Pittsburgh and try to persuade her parents to get back together. Sean and Angela try to figure out where they are at. Rachel invites the girls to move into the apartment with her, unbeknownst to Jack. Eric gets a new haircut, and Morgan goes on her first date. There we go.
And can I just, at the jump, just say, this is the second season in a row that they're starting off with a two-parter, and I do not like it. I find it a very unsatisfying way to start the season. If you're going to give us a two-parter, let us see what happens at the end of Feeny's wedding. Like, yeah. It doesn't make sense for Rachel and Jack to just now be having the conversation about roommates when this is something that started at Feeny's wedding. It doesn't make sense for any of these things to be happening a summer later when we were just at the part of the wedding where shit was going to get interesting. Make this the two-parter. I don't know.
I love what you said because you're like, it's a two-parter. There is no indication that it's a two-parter until, like, if you look at the notes. Like, it doesn't say part one in, like, on streaming. It doesn't say part one in anything other than like Wikipedia, I think.
Yeah.
There's no way that I know that this is a part one. And I'm not gonna lie, I was like, if this is my first time watching, if this is my introduction to the show, I'm not sure if I want to come back for part two. Do I care?
Do you care? Does anyone care? I don't know.
I just wanted to shout out really quickly. Roll call. We do have one guest star this episode, which is Jacob Chase as Dominic, who plays the boy who is going on the first date with Morgan.
Exactly. Got it.
Which I thought was really nice. And it's one of those things where it's like, he came in, I was like, he's very young, he looks very young, he looks age appropriate. Like, they could have cast anyone to play this role. They cast someone who, like, looked like a nice guy, and then he just kind of, like, echoes the toxic masculinity that we were getting, and I was like, we're not even safe from it with this little boy.
it's an indictment on masculinity in general, or a hyper masculinity, I should say. Siege, we have three different plots of this episode. Absolutely. We have the Corey Topanga, we have the Rachel, Jack, Eric of it all, and then we have the Matthews. Where do you want to start?
I think in order for any of it to make sense, we have to start with the A storyline. Yeah. And that's just kind of like in order to have like any kind of narrative cohesion. And to that, I want to say this episode both feels out of place in the sense of the characters don't know how long it's been. You know, like, there's no indication of how long it's been since Feeny's wedding.
It's been a summer. They say it's been a summer.
Yeah, but what I mean by that is, to your point, it's been a summer, but did anyone interact with each other over that time? Like, other, you know, like the Pocket Stories did, but no one else seemed to. And you're like, did you go somewhere? Like, what happened in this in-between time? There's just no, like, am I making sense? I don't know.
100%, because one of the first things I thought of was, you know, both Angela and Topanga get welcomed with, like, these big return from summer break. And I'm like, wait a minute. Were both of these girls no contact with you guys all summer? And now you're like curious as to why they're breaking up with you. It's like Topanga apparently has not talked to you all summer, bro. Like, I don't know but if also, that's what this they intended to say, but that's what it implies, is that she went no contact with Corey after the wedding. What happened at that wedding? We'll never know.
That's what I mean. What I mean by that is, where did Topanga go? Like, we don't get any indication. Like, and also, this isn't high school where it's like, you take a summer break. And then, like, you know, like, they're in college now. Yep. So either there's summer courses. And if you want to say that she took the entire summer off, why did she and Angela? Why is this the first time we're meeting any of them? You know exactly. what I'm saying? Why
has if no she one... went to Pittsburgh to be with her mom over the summer, I can get that. I can see that. They should have said that.
Correct.
But again, that doesn't explain why Angela, who was kind of somewhat friendly to Sean at Feeney's wedding, has also not talked to him all summer. Guys.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. What were Corey and Sean doing? He was like, hey, thank you. I'm so grateful that I was able to get past this entire summer without thinking about Topanga. Where were you? What were you doing? You know, why did no one notice that Eric was gone?
When have we ever known Corey to go an entire month, week, day without bringing up Topanga? Like, what were they up to? Like, that part of it was like, they're telling us and not showing us stuff that I feel like is actually more interesting than the stuff they're showing us.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Like, even like I try to bring up Eric several times because again, Eric just seems to have been gone. And he's like, I'm back now. And I've had this amazing summer. I had like this life-changing moment. I was like, why are we being told this instead of being shown this? Or, you know, some level of like, what has everyone been up to? And I know that this is a television show. I know that there's a summer break baked into the format of the television show. But as a television show, you can give us like 1 to 2 lines of, where has everyone been? Why is everyone just now reconvening? Like, give me a first day of school storyline in a way that everyone is acknowledging we've been separated and we are all coming back, instead of just having it be implied.
The Eric thing really bothered me because, okay, let's say college graduation is like end of April, early May. Like, it's pretty early. It's springtime.
Yeah.
School doesn't start until like, let's say August at the earliest.
Yep.
Eric lived in Feeney's car for 3 months. He next to his parents' house for 3 months is what we're supposed to believe. Like, there's such little thought that's going into like where we left off with these characters, specifically both Sean and Eric in season 6, where they were both having like had these arcs where they were supposed to have grown. And then both of them seemed to like de-evolve.
Correct.
Yeah, season 7. And it's kind of bonkers. Like, Sean was supposed to be this mature guy who kind of had this like big life experience. And now he's just back to like chasing skirts. And I'm like, bruh, I don't see it. I'm sorry. I'm not.
Is he back to chasing skirts?
Well, I'm seeing Angela as like him chasing skirts, because truly, again, I think he's just chasing Angela because Corey's chasing Topanga at this point. And we can get into that. But it just doesn't feel like something that is natural for him, considering what his last year was.
Okay, so let me just run down really quickly the A storyline, which we kind of like hit at, but we just went directly into critique. So Corey apparently hasn't seen Topanga until the beginning of school. Topanga comes back and lets us know that her father and her mother are officially filing for a divorce, which I have to say, why would you do that on your daughter's first day of college? Like, it does feel a little like, y'all couldn't have done that earlier. Like, why today? You know I'm leaving for college. Seems rude. But anyway,
I just say something about that? That when that happens, when Topanga comes back and is like, hey, my parents filed for divorce today, there is no sympathy or support from Corey. This motherfucker literally looks her in the eyes and goes, I don't know what to say about that. It's like, you are incapable of empathy in any facet, and this is why she should be leaving your ass. And that, it should have nothing to do with her parents, and it should have everything to do with Corey being a shit, like, boyfriend.
To be fair, the entire episode, no one seems to have sympathy. No, again, I want to put this in real life terms. Topanga, who we have known, we have also talked about in this series. They have known each other since they were four. She, very much like her college graduation, Topanga's parents getting a divorce and it being a earth-shattering moment for Topanga should have a ripple effect, not necessarily in everyone's life, but everyone should be going up to Topanga and being like, are you okay? How are you dealing? When Corey goes home, they should be like, how is Topanga? Did you see her? You know, like, it's something that you expect. Even Sean in the beginning goes, is it me or is she kind of making a big deal out of this? I'm like, out of her parents divorcing? You think Topanga's overreacting?
Can I say something to that? I feel like, because honestly, when we were watching the season 6 finale, that was my thing. I was like, why is this such a pivotal moment for Topanga when she hasn't lived with these guys in like a year and a half anyway? She seems to have a completely separate life. Why has this shattered everything for her? I feel like this was the show asking the questions that we're asking just to be like, well, we've acknowledged it and we can move on. Like, they're not diving deeper into any of it. They're just acknowledging it and then just being like, well, we should get points for acknowledging it. I don't know. It seems lazy.
No, but that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you want to take that route, let's say I'm going to take your argument. I'm going to take your argument and say that they were like, hey, she doesn't really know. She hasn't spent a lot of time with her parents. She doesn't live with her parents anymore. Why is this a big deal? Say that.
Yeah.
Hey, Topanga hasn't lived with her parents the last 3 years. Why is this a big deal to her now? Like, if you say that, it's still not sympathetic, but at least you're giving context. The fact that Sean just goes, what's the big deal? I think she's overreacting. It's like, again, women be crazy is what I get from this. And it also just undermines the traumatic experience that is having your parents divorce, no matter what age you are.
You're right. No one is giving her any kind of empathy or taking her situation seriously. They had plenty of opportunities to do that with Angela's episode. We could talk about that later. They do not. And I just have to say this. I wish the episode had just pushed it a little further. I wish someone would have said, like, hey, Corey, if it took her parents, who she does not have in her life, breaking up to shatter this whole thing for her and make her want to dump you, then maybe there was something else that was contributing to that prior. Maybe this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Maybe this has more to do with you, bro. Maybe, like, I just wish the show had just got us there to be like, hey, the reasons why she's so unsure actually have to do with, like, shit not being good with you guys since the ski trip, really? And, like, this is all kind of confirming her notion that love can't last based off of your interactions with her. I just wish it got us there, and it never does. It all just says, like, she's just so sensitive about what's happening with her parents, and I just feel like there's way more to the story.
I love that you said that, because it's leading me to where I was going. So as we were saying, just to, like, kind of tie this up, Topanga announces that her parents are getting divorced, and that has made her reconsider her own engagement to Corey. Corey's like, but we love each other, which, again, I want to come back to that.
Yeah.
Pin in that. And from that, Topanga's like, I don't know if I can continue to do this. And at the end of it, she's like, Corey, you know what? I thought about it. I can't marry you right now. And again, that is seen as, like, the catalyst for Corey going to Pittsburgh, for Angela and Sean not connecting. So I just wanted to get, like, that is the A storyline. And to kind of wrap up that, what you were saying, to bring it back, I 100% was like, Topanga, we talked about this in our canon, in our thoughts, in the way that the show positions it. Topanga proposed to Corey as a safety net. As a safety net to not go to Yale.
Yep.
As a safety net to not challenge herself and to kind of stay safe. And then her parents are getting a divorce, and she realizes that nothing is safe. Nothing is sacred. anything could fail, even home, as much as she's not with her parents, even home can be disruptive. So I think her whole reason of proposing to Corey is not there anymore. And she's like, oh, what was I doing? No.
I wish we got that. It's so frustrating that we don't, because that is so much more fulfilling from an audience perspective to see this journey of this girl who we knew was valedictorian of her class. Like, it just, there's so much that could lead and contribute to this. I also think, just because we're on this scene, you know, Angela kind of reemerges as well, and she kind of gives Sean, like, hey, I don't want to be with you either. There are so many opportunities for Angela and Topanga to have a moment that we see, like, them relating to each other, where where Topanga having this shattering, like, wow, maybe love isn't all perfect. Angela can swoop in with, like, you have no idea what my parents were like, and, like, talking about that, and, like, maybe Topanga talking about all this is bringing up Angela's commitment issues, which we know have existed since we were introduced to her. Then all of this makes sense, because now it just seems like Angela broke up with Sean because Topanga broke up with Corey, and that's the only reason, and it's stupid. It's so stupid.
Well, I'm gonna push back on you there, because it does, like, what happens in reality is Sean says, hey, I think we had a moment. I think we were feeling each other. Am I reading too much into this? Enter Angela, who's just like, what do you want from me? And he was like, I mean, we had a moment. And she was like, did we? He was like, well, I reached for your hand. You pulled away. I got close to you. You pulled away. I went to hug you. You pulled away. Why don't you want to be with me? And she's like, boy, think about what you just said. Every step that you made, I pulled away, which should tell you that I did not want this to be anything.
But they never, like, I wish she would just say that. I wish she would say,
I,
like,
agree.
Because they make it seem like she's breaking up with him in that moment, where she should have been like, hey, we were never back together, bruh, because of you. Like, I just wish she would have just said it versus us having to piece together this jigsaw puzzle with, like, missing pieces and trying to make the best picture we can out of it, because there's so much there that they could have pulled from that they're not utilizing to tell this story.
Absolutely. And again, I think there are two things that you and I have kind of learned by watching this series and listening to the pod, which is that, A, it has to center Corey, which is a handicap of itself, of the episode, because having to put Corey at the center of this, this is very clearly something that should be a Topanga storyline. We should get a Topanga storyline. Topanga should be the person that we are following, who we are understanding, or even if we need to, if we absolutely need to put Corey in it, as you said, we have Angela go to Corey and be like, do you know what it's like to not have your parents together? You don't. I know you don't.
Yeah.
Because your parents are loving and they've been together forever. I come from a home that's not that way. Sean comes from a home that's not that way. I can tell you that not having your parents there absolutely impacts your life and impacts what you think about relationships. Having Angela and Corey, who again,
oh my God, that's brilliant, bro. For, like, pushing Corey to fucking evolve and mature to be able to emotionally meet Topanga where she's at and just be like, hey, I'm now seeing how, like, life-changing this is for you. Take all the time you need. Like, he never gets there. He's just like, I'm gonna white man my way out of this. I'm going to force my stuff on even her parents, and that will be the point. Like, I don't want to move too far ahead, but it just, there was that opportunity to push him to, like, dive a little bit deeper, and we just never got there.
And by the way, for all of you who are like, this is a sitcom, we needed it for the plot to move the story along, it's like, you could still have Corey ignore Angela and be like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm gonna go fix this. Like, you could still have that moment, but at least you have something other than Corey saying, because we love each other, which, by the way, Topanga is saying, I don't know. Is that enough? Is love enough? Does love conquer all? Because that is Topanga's entire question. You can have people come to Corey and say, hey, maybe it doesn't. And Corey, again, be steadfast and be like, I know it does. But instead, you just get Corey running around being like, you guys, I'm right, right? Like, we should be planning our wedding. Again, also, I just, this just reminded me. In the, by the way, you guys, we have not gone past the first scene. But in the first scene, when Topanga says, my parents are divorcing, Corey goes, cool. This means we can go back to planning our wedding, right?
And he, it's don't, like, give, he don't give
dude,
a fuck.
Did you not hear me?
He don't care. He don't
like, what
care.
What made you think that we should, like, this was the perfect time? Like, for him, it's like, okay, cool. That item's crossed off the list. Now we can get back to us. And it's just like.
Let me remind you, bruh, that he spent most of season six being like, do I even kind of want to do this? I'm going to take my wedding ring off around these dudes. Like, I'm going to do A, B, and C. Like, I'm having nightmares about getting married. Like, there was so much where he was, like, kind of half into it anyway, until Topanga was like, I don't know if I'm into it anymore. And now Corey is now responding to rejection versus I am losing this person I care about. It's that ownership thing. He just correct. Wants to own her in the same way Alan's like, oh
we wait, hold it.
To be a
hold
boss it. Of. I'm hold just, it. I don't want to move too far ahead. I'm just saying that entitlement just feels like it's like from adult to child. It's like happening before our eyes in both storylines.
100%. And again, I'm just saying, hold your, I know who I'm talking to. Hold your horses. But not all of that is to say that, yes, Corey is in this episode. Again, I found myself being like, if this is the first time I'm watching this season, what am I picking up? What do I know? What is the motivation? And all I can see is a few people hurting. I say few because you get Angela, who's just like, hey, Topanga makes a lot of really good points. Love doesn't conquer all. We can't just do this for the sake of doing it. So you
can I say something about that real fast? When Sean's like, hey, Topanga's calling off the wedding, Angela goes, again? And I just want to point out, since Angela has entered the picture midway through season five, it's been nothing but a fucking roller coaster ride for her as Topanga's best friend. It's been nothing but on again, off again. Like, you, like, Corey should be on her shit list forever as Topanga's best friend. You know what I mean? So, like, like the fact that that never comes into play is a little annoying, too, because I'm like, all she's seen is turbulence with you guys.
Which is a really good point. But again, it goes back to the idea that we don't really write these female characters. Because if we wrote these characters in a way that acknowledged that they have a point of view, that acknowledged their history, that acknowledged their own friendship and bond, then you're right. It would be Angela very much on Topanga's side and being like, well, I mean, good.
Yeah, good.
Name one thing she has done that makes her believe she should still be in this other than him wanting it.
If they had wrote her as her best friend instead of as Sean's girlfriend, that would have happened. But that has still, like, we have yet to see an actual friendship. Hopefully we see that this season, but we have yet to see, like, just them having, like, a lot of one-on-ones between them developing their relationship.
Exactly. To your point, there's even a scene, okay, not even a scene, we're still in the first half, but there's the scene where Sean goes, he's to Angela and he's like trying to convince Angela. A, he's like really excited about seeing Angela. He's like, your hair looks good, which it does. This is a really good look for Trina.
He amazing. Looks phenomenal, by the way. When Sean was like, Topanga's mad because your hair doesn't look as good, I was just like, first of all, he ain't wrong.
But he goes up and he's like, you're not going to listen to her, are you? Like, and it's just like this idea of, women can't have their own opinions. It's like, oh, you're only echoing because she doesn't want to. That's why you don't want to be with me. You don't want to be with me because Topanga doesn't want to be with Corey. And it's like, or hear me out. You've given me no reason nor any changed behavior to make me reconsider my position. How about that? Or as you said earlier, I never said we were back together.
I never said we were back together. It was you assuming. It was you getting called up in Corey's game of being like, it's all a catch. It's all like a chase. And like, without the chase, he gets bored. And when there's a chase there, he's on it. And Sean gets roped into that game every single time.
I love that you said that because I want to talk about Sean. Sean, in the beginning, goes, man, it's been a rough year. Actually, what he says is, I don't understand why Topanga's getting so upset about her parents splitting. My mom left my family when I was 9, which we can talk about that. But he goes, when I was 9, and I turned out okay. And then he just kind of like breaks.
Glitch. Yeah.
And then he's like, man, it's just been a rough year. It has been a rough year. If we are talking calendar year, Sean's father just died. Still, it hasn't been a year.
Don't give a fuck about Sean's father dying, about any of the like clear signs of depression that Sean is going through. Like, it's all passed off as like him being like in the dumps as a joke versus like anyone taking his cries for help seriously in the same way they did with Eric last season. Like, it's kind of sad to see these characters who clearly need more support in their lives not get it, because the only person who can provide support to anyone is dead set on giving it to someone who does not want it.
Thank you for saying that. Someone who does not want it. Because again, as I was saying, broken people. We have Topanga dealing with her parents' divorce. We have Angela, who honestly just doesn't know where she's at with Sean and like where they stand. You have Sean, whose father just died recently, who he himself was going on a world tour. He came back specifically for the Matthews family, which again is what we were told last season, only for Corey's example of consistency, sorry, Sean's example of consistency, which is Corey and Topanga, to break up again. So yeah, he himself is dealing with a lot. And he keeps saying, it's been a rough year. And every time he says it, Corey's just like, nah.
I wish that they just a little bit of dialogue change, I think, could have fixed this, because at the end of season 6, we're led to believe, based off of the conversation that Sean has with Eric and the student union in the finale of season 6, that, hey, I've been through hell and back, and I'm realizing that the thing that's most important to me is my friends and family and getting my relationships in order and straight. Now, Sean's motivation should be like, hey, I know what's out there, and I know how special it is to have these people in my life here. Angela, I know it seems like, you know, you're going through a rough time or whatever, but I'm more committed than ever that I know that this is what's right. And like, he never has that moment. He never has the moment that Corey has had with Topanga so many times in the past, of just like, if I had to dream of the perfect girl, she wouldn't even come close. Like, Sean never gets those sweet moments with Angela. And it should be that. It should be that, like, hey, I want you because I've had this journey, not because Corey wants her. Correct. And that's never apparent.
Also, out of curiosity, where was Sean staying? Because let's just think about this. We've established that Jack and Rachel were living in the apartment. Eric was living in Phoebe's car. Topanga, we are going to assume, went to her parents' place, but either way, she didn't see Sean all summer. Angela, we don't know where she went, but she didn't see Sean all summer. And there's no indication.
Corey and Sean just went home. They were with the Matthews.
Yeah, but see, this is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you said they were with the Matthews. So are we assuming that Sean went to go stay with Corey and the Matthews over the summer? There's no indication of that. And again, yeah, I'm just saying, like, we don't know where Sean is staying at this point in time, because Sean had his father's trailer, but we said last season that exploded. So what are we doing?
Where and they Sean? Also did say that they changed out the boys' room into a nursery for Joshua, I think, too. So there really is no place for them.
Because we see them moving into their dorm for the first time.
From where?
So this where were they? This is what I'm saying.
This is why all of this should have taken place as a part 2 at Feeny's wedding. Because then we could have avoided all of these questions about what's been going on and why all of these conversations are happening 3 months later instead of when they were supposed to happen at the end of the summer. Absolutely. It's such a stretch. It's so absolutely obviously a stretch.
This leads me to the fourth broken person, which is Eric. And again, with Eric, I find it very interesting that we last season saw Eric be like, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what's going on with me. I'm spiraling. He leaves Jack and Rachel to have the apartment. Apparently, he's been sleeping in Feeny's car. And again, no one seems to really notice and or care about Eric's breakdown.
Yeah.
except for, I will say, there was a little like Jarek moment for me where Eric comes in and he's like, look at my hair. And Jack is like, I told myself I wouldn't do this. I'm not looking at his hair. I was like, that is someone who's like, he has been trying to get my attention all summer and I'm not doing this. I won't give him the satisfaction. But it just felt very coupley to me that I just wanted to acknowledge it.
I have to throw in something that happened at the live shows that we've been going to, which is that our headcanon about Jack and Eric has all but been confirmed by Will Friedle.
Will Friedle, Mark Gluttman, like everyone is
Jared. He was flat out asked, like, hey, what do you think, what fan theories do you like? And Will was like, I love the one about me and Jack beating together. Like, it is so there, but we can get into that later. I need to talk about Eric's haircut moment.
Okay.
First of all, it to me, it felt a little sad. Like, it felt like, hey, everybody pay attention to me. I had this big moment, and it was just him getting a haircut, which I felt like they thought was going to be, like, a Topanga haircut moment, but it doesn't seem like anyone responded with, like, that same flair.
So it's so funny. If you've been listening to the pod, I know that Will talks about this. Will talks about the fact that Michael was so adamant about Will coming back with the hair that they made him have the wig, that they wanted to do the big reveal. He pulled it off and he goes, nothing. No one responds. And I was like, what's interesting about that is, A, the way that they introduce the haircut, first of all, you feel like Eric is cracking. So is this supposed to be a surprise for the audience, or is this supposed to be in universe, this dude is cracking? That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two is they even show everyone else in the student union be like, huh, and move on with their lives. 100%. So are we supposed to care? Because they set it up like the audience is supposed to care.
Can I add a third bullet to that? Which is that the haircut ain't that great.
I don't love it. I don't love it. I don't like
of this all the of late Eric. 90s haircuts you could have had. It's just kind of so-so. It's kind of whatever. That's not the point about why I'm even bringing this up. My point is that for all the development that happened last season, it just seemed like Eric was pushed into a corner where he was like, you know what? There's really not a whole lot here for me. And I get that they were setting up a spinoff that never happened. Okay, fine. Let's give Eric something new to go after with his life. Maybe he found a place to intern as a weatherman again. Maybe like there's like a school like television network that he can join and like get involved in. Let's find him pursuing passions elsewhere. They don't do anything with the development that happened after Tommy or like the whole Jack and Eric Rachel's love triangle. All they do is make him dumber. They make him dumber, and it just feels like more of a cry for help than it does anything else. And it just is like, wow, like him, like he's gotten to a point where he doesn't even understand the concept of a haircut, and he's spinning around in a circle looking at his own ass. And I'm just like, dude, like the hurt that this guy is trying to cover up in real time is kind of sad, but I know I'm supposed to be laughing at it. It's just hard for me to see it that way now.
I'm not gonna lie, the haircut joke was funny to me when he goes, I cut my hair, I'm a brand new person, I'm smarter now. And Rachel says, what are you gonna do when it grows back? He goes, if I don't grow back, I kept the receipt. I laughed.
In all fairness to that joke, it looked like Will kind of broke character a little bit when he said that too. So
it was a great delivery, it was a great joke. I had a really good time with it. And I will say that to your point, why could we not? We were going to have a spinoff. It was going to be in LA, blah, 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 blah. Why not acknowledge that? Why not be like, I went to LA for a few weeks? That would have been fine. And that's better than him sleeping in Feeney's car.
Yeah. Like, you know, I went away. I had my own adventures. I came back a different person. And now it's just like, no, I came back a worse version of the dude that you remember. And I think there's going to be a lot of that this season, bro. I think it is with Eric.
That leads us to our B storyline, and I can't believe we are just now getting to the B storyline, which is, before we do that, let's kind of wrap up A, which is to say that, long or short of it all, Corey, again, is insisting that Topanga, he even pulls Feeny into it, which again, I'm not going to lie, I was upset that, I was like, okay, Feeny is going to be empathetic. Phoebe goes, "How are you doing, Topanga?" And I was like, okay, good. Phoebe is going to acknowledge that her family's divorce is really hard on her. And instead, he goes, "I'm going to stay out of it." And I have to admit, I'm with Corey on this idea of like, oh, wait, now you want to be like hands off? You've been involved in everyone's life for years. Now Topanga is going through a divorce. Her husband is like, or her fiance at this point in time, is like, why is this a big deal? Move forward. And he does say that divorce is hard on everyone involved. But when Corey gets upset, he's like, I want to be out of this. And it's like, Feeny, now you want to be out of this? Where's your pearls of wisdom?
Also, I feel like Feeny should be the one to say, like, hey, like, if all of these divorce statistics, if all this stuff is scaring her off, like, bro, calm down. Like, let her, like, deal with this. Like, Corey is so angry. There's so much finger pointing. There's so much, like, basically she owes me. You know, right. Like, this attitude where I'm just like, you're not doing yourselves any favors with Topanga by responding in this way when she's going through a crisis. You responded the same way when your mom went through a crisis, and now you're treating your fiance that way. And honestly, I'm not surprised that it's scaring her off. And I wish that would have been the focus, but it wasn't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I expected Phoebe to kind of reprimand or give Corey some advice and be like, let her breathe. But again, they can't do that because they have to validate Corey's position. And again, if everyone wants to talk about like, oh, this is a TV show, the most TV show aspect of this is them having the person who is wise and knows all and has life experience completely avoid talking to the main character about how his opinion of love conquering all isn't actually detrimental to getting his fiance back. Like Phoebe does not reprimand Corey and tell Corey the life lessons that he needs to learn in this moment. Instead, he just kind of says to Topanga, you're very practical. Yeah. I've known you to be practical. Do you really think that statistics is what you should be listening to right now? Do you think other people, all you need to ask yourself is, do you want to be with Corey? And to that point, I love how Topanga's like, good question. Let me think on this.
You know, I have to just say, and not to take away from, like, all of these things we're saying, I think could improve this episode and could make the story work. I'm tired. I'm tired of them getting together and then breaking up again. I've lost track at how many times these two have broken up and gotten back together. For them to pull a move like this so late in the series run, just feels like a desperate attempt to maintain viewership more than it does giving us a story that feels organic to where these people are in their lives at this point in college. If Topanga is like, hey, I feel like I've been making some weird choices. I want to change my major. I want to go to a different school. I want to do something else. I feel like maybe marriage isn't the safe bet I thought it was, and I'm going to focus on what could be a safe bet. And if Corey wants to be supportive to her, as he should have been when she got offered Yale, this is the time where he can prove himself as that partner that Topanga needs. It does not do that even a little bit. And it just feels like, I don't know why I should care at this point. And I know that we're like working with what we've got. I know I'm looking at the forest instead of the trees right now, but just as like a plot point, them breaking up at the start of the season or even breaking up at the end of last season, I'm tired. I don't care.
I disagree. I have to disagree because I agree with everything you said in terms of Topanga reflecting on this point in time. I feel is great and valid. I actually don't mind that we start off this season with Topanga being like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
I even think, but I disagree with, I don't need them to have Corey be the hero. I don't need them to have Corey be understanding. Corey can be who Corey has always been. That is fine. I need the show to validate Topanga's position. I need the show to validate Angela and Topanga's existence. I need them to validate Corey is being kind of a selfish asshole and everyone can see it, but they also don't know how to deal with him at this point.
Yep.
That is fine with me. The on again, off again is television. It's sitcom. What was I say? It's like I think it's Tom and Diane. I mess up that show.
Sam and Diane.
Sam and Diane. I was like, I knew that. Ross and Rachel. Like, the ideal of will they, won't they, Dick and Jess. Like, these things are television. I do not mind that at all. I even feel like the idea of getting engaged young and then your parents divorcing is a good reason to kind of hit pause and make Topanga reconsider some things. I don't mind it. I do mind them constantly telling us that Corey's belief in love is the one thing that can't be argued against. Yeah. And they just constantly keep saying it can't be argued against.
Can I say something to that, by the way? At one point in the episode, they randomly, Corey says, like, I believe in love the way I believe in God. You can't see it. You can't feel it, but you can feel its wrath. And I thought, like, okay, here's a random, like, reference to God again, which we get sometimes with this show. But it also made me think about the idea of, like, how some religious people are taught about what love is. Through Correct. Control rather than through understanding. And it just feels like there's so much of that with Corey. I can't root for him anymore. To your point, I don't need him to become a hero if that's not who he's meant to be. But I know, as someone who's seen this show and seen season 7, that all of this is just to give us something to be like about until the wedding inevitably happens midway through this season. I know that that's the end game. If you're going to make us like, trying to get us excited for that end game, I feel like there's other ways you could do that naturally with Yale, with all these things that were kind of like in place prior. Correct. Versus throwing, I don't know, all of this just feels messy. It just feels like throwing in the parents just feels messy. Like, I get it and I can rock with it. It's not my favorite way of handling these characters.
I completely agree, because what I was saying is everything that we get from the Corey, Topanga, Sean, and Angela of it all is that these people don't interact with each other as a foursome. Mm-hmm. They interact kind of based off of each other. Like, yeah. Corey is reacting to Topanga not wanting to get married, but Corey can't seem to see the entire depth of, we are 19 years old, your parents are getting a divorce. Getting married at a young age in itself is nerve-wracking. So I understand that one more thing has just tipped the scale. You're not looking at her in that way. You're not looking at your friend in the fact that, hey, his father just died. And I know that he sees my relationship with Topanga as his foundation. If you even wanted to say that, Topanga, you're hurting Sean. You know what I mean? Like, if there would have been a joke where Corey goes, Topanga, you can't do this to Sean. He just lost his dad. Now you want to break us up? Like, that's joke. Self-awareness in there. Angela doesn't really seem to be advocating for Topanga in the way that you would expect her friend to be doing. Sean doesn't seem to be advocating for Topanga or even fighting for Corey and Topanga as much. If anything, he's saying, Angela, ignore them. So all I'm saying is all these 100%. Characters seem like they exist.
They seem isolation. Like they don't actually love each other. That's Correct. The problem. I'm not rooting for any of these people. If this is what Corey thinks of love, fam, run away. Go away.
To that point, he says proximity. And
no, his again, plan is to stalk them. His plan is just like, we're just going to follow them around and they're going to see us everywhere. And I'm just like, this is getting more and more unhinged as it's happening. And then his scheme to be like, hey, I'm going to force her parents back together is so wild. Can you imagine if an ex took it among themselves to get involved with your parents' relationship in a way to be like, this will help manipulate you into getting back? This is psychotic. This is scary. Get a restraining order.
I love that you said manipulate, because that's everything that Corey says that he's going to do to encourage Topanga to marry him, by the way. He's not showing love in any way. He keeps saying that I love you and that we love each other, but he has not demonstrated 1 ounce of love. No. And I think that's kind of the problem that we're really pushing up against. And ultimately, again, I think I keep repeating myself, and I'm so sorry, but one of the things that I'm realizing is we keep grading against these storylines because we're being told this is what love is. And as two individuals who grew up watching this show, we understand how detrimental it is to tell a young crowd that Corey is right. Corey knows what love is. Corey understands something that no one else can see. When you are not seeing Corey demonstrate one element of love, he is not being selfless. He is not considering her needs and wants. He is not respecting her space and autonomy. He is not allowing her a chance to breathe.
He doesn't listen to her. They say, like, hey, like, she's like, I can't be with you right now. As soon as her and Angela leave, he looks to Sean and goes, I don't care what they say. They love us. That's scary. That is, you are not hearing anyone in the room. It's terrifying to be friends with someone like that.
And that is my point. My point is, we are bucking so hard against this storyline because we are constantly being told that this is for love. And you are like, where is the love?
Where's the love? Love. Because your version of love has no empathy. Your version of love has no compassion. Your version of love doesn't involve you focusing on the needs of anyone other than yourself. So, like, what kind of love is that really? He saw his parents have a healthy resolution to a conflict and was like, oh, I've never seen anything like this before. He had like this revelation of like, you can end a conflict in a healthy way. And I'm just like, bro, you're not ready for this. You know what you're signing up for, bro.
It's funny that you said that because let's jump to the Morgan and Alan and Amy storyline.
Okay, yeah.
And I say that because it bookends the A subplot. So we meet Alan and Amy and they're both preparing for Morgan's first date. And again, immediately, Alan is being stereotypical 90s dad. My daughter's too young to be dating. Look at you. You're wearing hot pants. And Amy, again, it's so funny to me because they will write Amy as a very interesting, very usually correct point of view and then invalidate her decisions all in the same episode. And so Amy rightfully is like, you had no problem with Corey and Topanga dating. And Alan says, he's a boy. And she goes, you're a pig. Which he is. You're being misogynist. You're being patriarchal. If you think that there's a difference between your son dating at a younger age than your daughter, who is older than any of our children started to date, then that is very limited thinking. And you should reconsider your viewpoint.
It's like this whole thing I thought was really frustrating because I thought the same thing Amy thought, that like, hey, the boys have been dating forever. Also, Eric literally brought home a girl who had a kid once, bruh. Like, what's the worst that could happen? And the fact that there's never the conversation about like, well, why is it different that it's a girl, Alan? Is it because she can get pregnant and the boys can't? Is it because if your boys get a girl pregnant, it's not your responsibility as a father to deal with? Like, let's have this conversation about why you feel so comfortable giving Corey a high five that he might be secretly living with Topanga when you don't like your daughter wearing the shorts that she's been wearing all summer out on a date.
You're both infantilizing and somehow sexualizing your own daughter.
100%.
And that should be acknowledged.
Yeah.
And instead, they just reduce Amy's critique to you're a pig, which I have to admit isn't great to hear and isn't really problem solving, but it also, I would love for her to have expand her argument a little bit.
Yeah.
But they 100%. They do understand, the writers understand that Amy doesn't agree and Amy has a valid reason for saying what she's saying. You would not bring up the kids being younger if you didn't feel like she had a valid reason, but instead you let her have the reason and then you just solve it with Alan being like, well, as long as I have another child to control. And I was like, wait, you literally say that.
That's literally the resolution of that storyline. It's like, I still have another child that I can control. And Amy's just like, yes, you do, hubby. Like, supporting him in this way instead of kind of calling him out on this. Like, the fact that Alan is more upset that he was called a pig versus taking the time to, like, wonder why his wife called him a pig. Like, there's so much more that could happen. But again, like, don't give us a C storyline if you're not going to allow these people to have an actual conversation about the C storyline. Like, that's absolutely my whole thing.
And also, something that we used to love about Alan and Amy is that they would have these conversations. They would actually talk it out. And Amy, either Amy would be like, I disagree with your position, and I think that you're coming at this from a very misogynist way. And Alan would explain himself, but it would still resolve with like more conversation. This actually just ends because Amy is like, look, I gave you another kid to obsess about. Deal with that. Like, she even brings up the idea. It's like, oh, Alan's mostly having a problem with the fact that his kids are growing up and leaving the house. He's having empty nest syndrome. That's his thing. Yep. She says that flat out. And they're like, yep, that's it. And then that's the resolution. The resolution is, I gave you another child to control. You could still be king of the castle. And he's like, oh, okay, cool.
Which, by the way, like, I kind of spoke a little too fast when I said healthy resolution earlier. Because what Corey actually sees and what America is seeing through this sitcom is that the way to have a healthy resolution to a conflict is to just let it go.
Correct.
I'm not going to actually correct your behavior. I'm not going to call you out on anything in a serious way. You are who you are, and I'll just accept you for who you are no matter what. Is what we were taught like marriage was.
Correct.
Without acknowledging like all of the like unhealthy, toxic behavior that can become prevalent in a situation where no one is getting checked. Corey's never getting checked, and like, look at the fucking person he's becoming, bruh. It's crazy. I can't, like, I hate that he's the central character. I hate that he's like, we said this when we were talking to the cast of the show for their season 3 recap, but this idea of just like, when he was confused about the world around him, like, he was such a more relatable character. Like, you're a kid in the world and everything's confusing. I get that. But when your confusion just comes to, you don't know how to empathize with another person, I cannot root for you. I'm actively rooting against you. And that's where I'm at right now.
Well, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. I don't need Corey to be a good character. I think that's really important. There are plenty of television characters. Like, Homer Simpson is not good. He is actually shown to be a really bad person. But everything around him kind of learns lessons, and like there is like something that pushes the story forward. With Corey, however, the story bends over backwards to give him validation, and that is what's going to bother me. And then even when we get something like, hey, this couple is having a legitimate argument, they solve that argument by the wife being like, you're going to be who you're going to be, instead of actually having the discussion that they needed to have. And then Corey's takeaway is something that he says, but we're not actually shown. We don't see Alan and Amy go, you know what? I love you nonetheless, even though I think that you have very outdated thinking.
Yeah.
Had she said that, and had he said, and I love you for keeping me in check, then Corey's whole, oh, you guys accept each other for who you are, and you remember that you love each other at the end of the day. Had that been what he saw and then the conclusion, that makes sense. But instead, Amy just kind of gives up on the fight, and then Corey goes, oh, that's right, you guys love each other. You just needed to be reminded of the love.
Which, by the way, is like, we saw Corey learn this lesson in season 5, where Sean had Amy and Alan stage that fight for him and Topanga at Chubby's. Like, we're seeing them learn lessons again and again and again. And I'm just like, I don't need the repeat.
But he didn't learn the lesson, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's like, not learning. That's what I mean. That's what's frustrating. Is like, I don't believe he's walking away with the lesson he's supposed to walk away with. He's walking away with like a double down of pre-held beliefs that he already had.
I was going to say, and we will get into this when we get into our feedback lesson, but don't answer it now. Does this episode have a lesson? Or like, does it have a lesson at all? So,
all right.
So last thing we have to hit on.
Can I just say one last thing about Corey before we move on to the last thing, which is just really quickly. I liked when Corey was back with the Matthews. I liked Corey having that moment with Morgan and her date, just being like, you guys got to be careful out there. What I wish I would have seen in season 7 is Corey return home. Is Corey spend more time with his parents? Is Corey actually spend time with some adults like Feeny and Alan and Amy, who he can have conversations with, who will actually check him in the way when he's off in college and he doesn't have any guidance around, he's not getting checked? I wish that would have been this season. It's not, but I wish it was.
I agree with you. Again, had we, to your point, had we spent this time and it was the summer and not necessarily, by the way, it can be before school starts, like a week before school starts.
That's what they did last year.
If this was the summer and we all this was happening and we see Corey and Sean, according to you, staying with the Matthews and then interacting with the family more so because they're already home and they're seeing these things happen instead of having Corey come back just to kind of be here. And you're like, why are you here? What was your reason? You don't even have laundry to like as an excuse. You just came home for what? Cheerios? You don't even fix yourself a bowl of cereal. Why are you here? So anyway, that would have been really good and it would have been helpful and I would have liked that in some way, shape, or form. Okay, so now we've got to talk about the last storyline, which is because, again, they use Jack and Rachel as, again, a prop. Corey goes to them and they're like, finally, a couple who can explain the beauty of love. And they go, by the way, Rachel and Jack say, by the way, we've broken up.
When?
And it's like, when
did they just break up?
Why did that happen? What were your reasons for breaking up? We have no context other than it's been a summer. Apparently, you didn't talk to your brother at all. You didn't talk to your
own. He never talks to his brother. The last thing we saw of them was Eric having that conversation of like, Jack, isn't it like we only saw Rachel as a prize to be won? Ha 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 ha, I'm out. And then like, him and Rachel look at each other, but we're never privy to that conversation. And correct. So we're supposed to assume that they've either been living in this limbo all summer and they just decided, or it's like, I don't know what to believe at this point. What I will say is that Jack has entered his himbo phase.
Oh, 100%. If you thought that I wasn't going to acknowledge Matthew Lawrence coming in looking like a snack. Muscles muscling, Henley, toit, hair working. Matthew Lawrence came to play this episode.
Turned on by Hunter. Ooh.
Yes, I love that you did that. That's what this segment will be called because Jack looks so good.
Yeah.
And I will say, again, we've kind of hit on it before. I get really upset when I look at the Jack, Eric, Rachel of it all, because I see such potential. You still have 22 minutes. You could still make it work. They just didn't want to put in the effort. I don't know how to say it any way other than
that. I just don't think they have any idea what to do with Matt Lawrence's character. I felt that last season. I still kind of feel that now. Even that, like, where we are at the end of this episode, I feel like they just have no idea what to do with him.
Well, again, to your point, let us see the conversation of Rachel and Jack breaking up. Or even, this could be before Eric makes his entrance, have them talk about the idea of, we've kind of been beaten around the bush for a while, but you and I haven't been working out. We're not connecting. We get like a little bit of it when they're like, hey, living together probably isn't smart anymore. But I do like this idea. I like the idea of them both having different understandings of what we shouldn't live together anymore means. But if you take that, then this entire episode should be about the lack of communication.
Yeah,
and the different and by the way, we see the lack of communication.
Can I just say that the mix-up that Jack and Rachel have, I think, is a little bit of a stretch. I feel like legitimately, if you had a roommate, there's no way that based off of that one conversation, you would think that the other person was moving out. But what I think is interesting is that Rachel thought that Jack was going to be gone, so she didn't need to ask anyone else if someone was going to move in. Jack was like, hey, I'm going to bring a roommate into Rachel's home and I don't need to talk to her about it because you lived here once before. And I was like, that's kind of more fucked up, is this idea that she didn't necessarily, she thought, okay, I don't need to talk to him because he's not going to be my roommate anymore. But Jack didn't think I need to talk to Rachel about this new roommate coming back in. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
So I disagree with you on who's worse here, because let's think about this. We know that this was Eric in Jack's place first.
That's very true.
If we're talking about names on the lease, most likely Eric's name and Jack's name, bare minimum Jack's name, because he got family money, is on that lease.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, for either of them to invite new people to live in that home without, like, being like, hey, so you're going to take your name off the lease, like, having the specific conversations are, when are you moving out? When am I getting your key? Like, these are things you talk about with a roommate that's leaving.
And I agree. But what I'm saying is, what you said is Jack bringing someone back and assuming that someone would live with Rachel is worse than Rachel assuming that dude would leave his lease and his apartment that he found and paid for to the girl who he has only been with for a few months and then allow her to do with whatever she wanted to.
I think the apartment's in Jack's dad's name. I don't even think it's his to get rid of.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I am saying just that. I am saying that it does not make sense that Rachel would come in and be like, oh, I thought you were moving out. Girl, you ain't seen him pack a box. You ain't seen him pack a lunch. So why would you already assume that you could move new people into it? And I will say, I do like the idea of Rachel and Angela and Topanga living together. I think it's worth it.
I think it's valid. I do not like the road we took to get there, but I love this idea of all the girls just being like, fuck all these dudes. Because honestly, all these men are trash. Like, get rid of them. And like the three of you guys living together, I'm here for that. I just wish we got there in a way that made sense versus the chaos it took for all these characters to end up there.
This is, and we're talking classic sitcoms. We could have had the miscommunication, two people having two different thoughts, two different conversations, and making the exact same thing. And what I mean by that is Eric tells us that he will no longer be sleeping in Feeny's car because Jack and Rachel are no longer together, and Jack has invited him to move back in. Why not have Jack go to Eric and say, hey, we talked about it. It's not working just the two of us. We want you back. And for Rachel to turn to Angela and Topanga and say, hey, Jack and I talked about it. It's not working out us living together. Will you guys help me cover the rent? So again, you have two people who are like referencing the same conversation, but have two different takeaways. And we get to see that as an audience. And then there you go. There's your mishap.
You know what? This shouldn't have been this episode, bruh. This should have been like just give us like Topanga and Angela ending things with the guys and then just being this question about what's going to happen. This could have all been in the part two. This could have been what was going on while Sean and Corey are in fucking Pittsburgh or whatever. Like, there's just too much story and they're like skipping over details in a way that it just, I'm like, all right, sure. I'll give it to you.
I agree with you in the sense of, I think that the full thing could have been in the second episode. But I honestly feel like if you give us two little scenes of Jack talking to Eric, of Rachel talking to the girls, and they both being like, cool, this will be fine. And you just open, like, we end with Jack and Eric opening the door and realizing that everyone's there at the same time. That, there you go. That's a cliffhanger. Yeah. That's what we need. And that, if you leave it there, then we could pick up the resolution in the second part.
I mean, yeah, I still got to be honest. Like, looking down the barrel of the season, I'm still just, like, unenthusiastic.
I will say this. I am more excited about the potential of storylines that we get because I will say this. As much as we've trashed this episode and we've broken it down, all it did was make me think of all the ways that this show actually brings up really good topics and the multiple storylines we could have gone. I actually don't look at this episode as anything other than, wow, it could have been great. We could have done this. We could have done that. It's a great episode as a basis for fan fiction because there's so much there, but this episode alone did not make me want to come back.
Let me ask you a question. What was the last time we watched the Boy Meets World episode where we got enough that we didn't have to focus on the potential of it, of what it could be? Because I have to feel like it hasn't been since season 5, honestly. I feel like it's been a minute.
I'm not going to lie. It's probably been a minute. I think Stewart was an episode that we liked, and it was handled in a way where we were like, okay, I think. But you're right, it's been a while. I'm not going to pretend. I will give you that. Do you have anything more to say about this episode? Because I feel like we went down to the bones.
100%. The few things I just want to throw out there was that I thought Danielle's acting was really good during her, like when she first came back. She felt like she had a very different tone than Sean and Corey. She felt very reserved, which I know is very different than the bubbly Danielle that we know. So I just felt like her acting was really good. Feeny made a really funny joke about him not getting invited to spaghetti nights in his car, and I thought I laughed at that. The last thing is that when Eric and Jack come into the apartment, Eric picks up books, and they're Angela's books, and they're Native Son, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and the autobiography of Malcolm 10, which I actually think is a very funny joke, but they're all jokes about complicated race issues in a show that says it's colorblind. So I just thought that was interesting.
All right, so I'm not gonna lie, because I said this earlier, I did not watch this in a while, so I didn't know where we were going. I was like, did Rachel get herself a black I was like, oh my god, because again, as far as I'm concerned, what we've seen so far was we've seen Jack come with one guy who he thought, so I didn't know that Rachel thought that she had two free bedrooms.
Oh my gosh.
So I thought that she had one bedroom, and I thought there would be one. I literally thought they were gonna have some black dude leave the shower and be like, hey,
oh my gosh,
I would have raves
with the towel around his waist comes out. Oh my god,
that's where I thought we were going with this, because like in those books, not to say that Angela couldn't have read them, but I was like, oh, these are black people books, and a weird way to hint at race,
yeah,
but also good on, you know, this is a black person, okay. And then for it to be Angela's, I was like, oh. Oh,
yeah.
And I was really hoping for a black dude to be coming out of there. So, okay. Thank you for acknowledging that. Okay. So, a little segment before we get started called Red from Reddit. I'll be reading a post that I found on Reddit about this particular episode, and you guys let us know if you like it. But anyway, going into it, the Shape 1428_13. A lot of numbers, says, Show Me the Love is a tough episode to sit through. This one has always been hard of a rewatch for me, from the whole situation with Rachel, Topanga, and Angela kicking Jack out of his apartment alongside Eric, and the double heartbreak between Sean and Corey. It's just an uncomfortable watch for me amidst a series almost solely filled with episodes that make me feel good. Maybe I'm just a little sensitive bitch. It just feels hard for me to watch these friends be so shallow towards each other almost suddenly. So, what do you have to say to that?
I don't know that I necessarily felt the same reasoning, but I can say I had the same overall apathy towards this episode.
I love that. I wanted to really dig into the comment of what we had talked about. Angela, Topanga, and Rachel kicking Jack out of his apartment. I think that it completely does not acknowledge. Like, I will give Friends this. Friends was like, this is so-and-so's apartment, this is so-and-so's apartment.
Yeah.
Whatever, we could mix around wherever people are living, but at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge so-and-so's name is on this lease, so-and-so's name is on that lease, and that has to be a thing. This episode treats the apartment as just like, it doesn't really acknowledge how people live or what teenagers of that age demographic would be doing.
Yeah.
Like, is there a lease? Is there a landlord? Why would Rachel assume that Jack would just give over his apartment, girl, that he had before he met you?
Yeah.
Like, the idea of Topanga and Angela just moving in. They, like, we didn't see any conversations about rent. We didn't see anything about, like, everybody.
Because it's too much. They're throwing too much at us in one episode. And even splitting it, it just still feels like, why? Why was this the season 7 opener? I hate it. I hate it.
5 seconds ago, you were like, I don't feel like I was that. And now you're like, I hate it. So I thought that was really funny. Okay.
I'm doubling down.
Let's get into our usual Brad moment. What surprised you from this episode?
I think the only bra moment I can think of is Alan telling Morgan, go upstairs and put on some of that unsexy crap your mother wears.
That, again, it's hard. It's really hard for me because I feel like most of Alan was a bra moment for me. Most of the scenes with Alan, because it just felt so outdated and so old school. I was like, what are we doing? But I will also say that I still have one kid I can control was like the most egregious part to me of him just being like, oh, so this is all about control. This is all about telling people what they can and cannot do. You don't see the problem with that?
Okay. Corey learned it from somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. Very good point. Feeny lesson. What was the takeaway from this episode?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not going to lie. As far as lessons go, I would say that because, as you put it, this is a part one, it does not explain itself to be a part one. We don't get a to be continued. We just get a, hey, we're going on a romp later on. And I was like, but that's a whole other episode. Why are you like, I don't know that this is a part one for anything other than one location shows us as a part one.
Eric says something in the episode where he goes, the things that were important to me yesterday mean nothing to me today. And I feel like that's maybe the closest I can walk away from with an overall theme. Like, I don't know.
I'm going to say, I don't think this episode has a lesson. I don't think that it has a complete thesis statement. I think that it's a lot of setup. And I think we're supposed to get the lesson in episode two. But I really
can you, can know. I tell you what it feels like? It feels like they thought season six was going to be the end and they were building up to a big wedding as the finale. And then they got approved for another season. And then they scattered to make a conflict happen at the end of season six. And now they're scattering to make like that conflict, like make sense within the world that they still want to build. And so it just feels like a mess. It just feels like a mess.
It's so funny to me. Maybe you're right. I disagree in the sense of I don't know if like they needed to create a reason. I just feel like they don't care as much. Whoever was writing, whoever was building this sitcom has left. We know that a really big part of the writer's room who was like controlling the really good structure is no longer here. And I feel like the showrunners don't really know the show that they're doing for this demographic anymore. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
I feel like we've just been, it feels like this is The Office when Michael left.
Yeah.
In the sense of you've got an extension. You don't know why you're still here, but you have to put on a show.
And I feel like The Office is a great comparison because when you think about how quickly you stop caring about Jim and Pam, it's kind of where I'm at with Corey and Topanga. Like, I don't know that I care anymore.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Okay, what grade are you giving us?
I'm giving this episode a D. I'm giving it a D because it was bad. I'm giving it a D because it was supposed to be a season premiere. It was supposed to be the thing to say, hey, come back for 23 more of these. And I'm looking at you like, so I'm giving it a D. Like you're a premiere, bro. You should be pulling me in to this show and the ride that you plan on going on. And I don't want to go on this ride.
I love that you said that. You should be pulling me in. And I love that because I told you, I watched this episode and the one thought that I had was, if this was the first time I was interacting with this show, would I want to come back? And I don't know if I would. I don't know if I found anything in any of these characters that I cared about. And I do understand that there is quote unquote something at stake for Corey. And I do understand quote unquote that there is a kerfuffle with the apartment. But I don't know that I care enough about either of those situations to come back. And I think that's noteworthy.
I think we're past the jump the shark moment. I don't know when it happened exactly, but it just feels like, for example, you know me, I'm a fan of horror movies, right? Like, I love Nightmare on Elm Street. I love Halloween. I love Friday the 13th. Will I watch Halloween 5? Will I watch Jason Lives or Jason in Manhattan or whatever bullshit like Friday the 13th 8 was? Sure, I will. Is it the best of the franchise? Is it the reason why I fell in love with the franchise? No. Has there ever been a better Scream movie than Scream 1? No. But I'm, you know what I mean? Like, it just, it, I'm in love with these characters for who they used to be, not for who they are. And that's where I'm at right now.
And I think that to me is the question. As we enter an age where we are getting television for the sake of television, we're getting content for the sake of content, we have studios threatening us with AI writing scripts, I'm trying to get to the essence of why this episode should work and doesn't. And as you said, I care about these characters because of who they were, not because of who they are. And I think that is a problem.
I will say this. We're like 98, 99, I think, or 99, 2000 in terms of timeline. I think that Boy Meets World was the last legacy TGIF show at this point. Maybe Sabrina was still there, but Full House was no longer on. Family Matters was no longer on. Like, all of these other shows, I think, had been gone. And it just feels like the attention to keeping TGIF a special wasn't there anymore. It was just filled with a bunch of filler shows that never really took off, that were all about the same quality as the season 7. Like, no one's watching You Wish. No one's watching any of that. Like, even Two of a Kind, like some of these other late TGIF shows, like, they all kind of feel like this. And I remember even as a kid just being like, ugh.
Yeah. Which is funny because we go into the 2000s, and I think what we are witnessing is the decline of network television.
Yeah.
But very soon we get
cable,
Sopranos. We get like our golden age and the rise of cable.
Yeah, cable television, yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, all right. So, thank you guys so much. Oh, by the way, before I do that, I never gave my grade, which was, I think that I'm having a really hard time. I feel like D is where it needs to be. You gave it a D. I keep wanting to give it like a C minus, and I'm asking myself why. I'm asking myself why, but I think I have to look at the facts and say that this was a D episode.
Especially now that we're like Pod Meets World is like getting into the heart of the show, the core of the show, and you're like, oh yeah, that's why I love this show. Like, going back to watching those episodes. Like, I'm not feeling any of those season 3 vibes here anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. You gave it a D. I gave it a D. Before we wrap up the show, I just want to say, you guys, remember to follow us on our socials at Bro Meets World. Subscribe on our YouTube and join us on our Patreon. Don't know if you have heard. We have a Patreon now. We have extended episodes. We have unseen content. My Date with the President's Daughter.
My Day with the President's Daughter. It's on our Patreon, y'all.
Make sure you go over there and check it out. And now it's time for homework. T, what do you got?
I don't got any.
Really? Really? You heard me do all of that 3 times.
The autobiography of Malcolm 10 is my homework assignment for everyone. That's it.
Wow. He put in as much effort on this homework assignment as the writers did on this.
In all fairness, I just haven't been consuming a lot of content lately. I don't know what's been going on. It's just my attention span or whatever. I will search for hours to put on the show just to scroll TikTok while it's on. And like, that's just where I am right now, bro. I don't know. There's just been nothing engaging. I mean, there's been a strike that's been going on for months. So I don't know if that has anything to do with the lack of content I'm excited to see. I have an AMC pass that has been really unused in the last month or so. Like, there's been a few movies I've gone to see, but nothing I'm excited to see. And so I don't know. I don't really know what's good. Y'all let me know what I should be watching, because I'm struggling.
Okay. The only reason I ask is I am the complete opposite. I have been like on a binge. My AMC pass knows me. It's like, I'm here again. And to that point, I will say to you, I'm going to give you specifically a homework, and then I'm going to give our audience a homework.
Okay.
So, you specifically, I went and I saw Thanksgiving, the Eli Roth movie, and I feel like you would enjoy it.
You know what? Possibly.
I think, you know, here's the thing. I will
we
say
we just came off of watching the Cabin Fever midnight show for Eli Roth back in October to support Ryder. But I have to say, like, Eli Roth and as a whole, I'm just like kind of whatever about. But Thanksgiving seems like some bullshit I would get into. So
Thanksgiving, it knows what it is. It actually is better than it needs to be for the concept. And I actually feel like we needed like a Thanksgiving horror movie.
You're
and
right.
This one hits the right notes. And so I think you'd be surprised. And I think you'd enjoy it. Okay. I would love for you to actually go check it out and let me know what you think. And then for the rest of our audience, I went to go see Saltburn. And I have to say, that is another very controversial movie. It is by the woman who did Promising Young Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Itself a very controversial movie.
Love Promising Young Woman.
Some people hate it. I loved both. I loved Promising Young Woman, and I think Saltburn is like number two of my favorite movies of the year. Bottoms is number one.
Love Bottoms. You know what? Love Bottoms. Yeah, watch Bottoms, guys. We weren't able to talk about that. Watch Bottoms.
Bottoms is number one.
Hey, can I ask you this about Saltburn? Yeah. I loved Promising Young Woman, and I also thought I had a bomb soundtrack. Does Saltburn have a good soundtrack?
Everyone's been talking about Saltburn's soundtrack. And again, I want to say, put it this way. It's a period piece set in 2006. So
got it. That's how old we are. Graduating year is now a period piece.
Exactly. Which, by the way, I just want to say that you and I are not far off from it being 20 years since you graduated.
I can't.
20. So just think about that. But anyway, Saltburn, I don't want to give too much away. I just want to say that I enjoyed it. I thought it was worth it. I would love for people to check it out and see what you like, what side of the fence you fall on. Do you think that Saltburn's good? Do you think that it's bad? Do you think that it's salacious? I am hearing a bunch of takes, but I will tell you that I enjoyed it. I felt like everything was intentional. It has a lot of shock factor, and a lot of people were like, oh, it's empty. I was like, I disagree. I think that it knows exactly what it wants to be, and it even kind of tells you, I'm not trying to be more than this.
Yeah.
If you were expecting more than this, that's on you. So anyway.
All right.
That's how I feel about it.
Dope.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode of Broad Meets World. Next week, we will be doing season 7, episode 2 For the Love of Apartments. For the Love and Apartments? I don't know. One of those apartments. season 7, episode 2 Make sure you come back and...
Maybe they should also dream?
I guess if we're that quickly doing a dream, you should try.
And if you're gonna dream and try, go ahead and do some good.
Do more good than Corey is doing.
Oh, an easy ask of all of us at this point.
So there you go. Bare minimum, dream, try, and do more good than Corey's doing.
This episode of Broad Meets World was produced by Siege and edited by Tony Curtis. Broad Meets World is a 2 Free Tokens media production.
Later, bros.
Later, bros. When the spawn meets world.